What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination who have been covering the Chargers for three seasons now, going on four. And this is our second with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Well, guys, on today's show, we're going to be getting back into our draft profiles in the last two segments of the show. And today we're going to be talking about Hakeem Butler, the wide receiver out of Iowa State. And we're also going to talk about cornerback Rock Ya-Sin from Temple. But on today's show, we have a little bit of news and housekeeping to do as far as the Chargers signed a couple of new coaches to their staff. The preseason schedule was released and the Chargers signed a long snapper from the AAF. And then we also have a voicemail from Brian from Westminster. We promised him we would get it on the show on the last one, so today, here it is. We're glad to get another voicemail. Always remember, you can call the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. All right, guys, well, let's get it started. The Chargers have hired Leroy Glover as their new assistant defensive line coach, and they also named Chris Caminiti as senior coaching assistant. If you've heard of Glover before, it's because he most recently served in the same role for the New York Jets over the last two seasons and previously spent 7 years as the Rams director of player programs. He was a six-time Pro Bowler as a player as well. So it's definitely nice to get a guy with that kind of experience and for him to get away from the Jets, because Lord knows that couldn't have been fun. But we also signed a long snapper from the AAF. His name is Cole Mazza, who recently played for the Birmingham Iron with Nick Novak. So Mike Wint possibly on the hot seat here. I doubt it, because he's been, one of the best long snappers in the league and really never makes any mistakes. So I don't think that's any big news there, guys. But the Chargers did get their preseason schedule, so I do want to ask you guys about that quickly. The four games on the Chargers schedules are a lot of familiar names. They basically get the same teams every single year. So this year it's week one at the Cardinals, week two versus New Orleans, week three versus Seattle, and then week four at the San Francisco 49ers. John, I think that is one part of it that it could be kind of nice to see, is that in the third game you get a really legitimate team against the Seahawks, and that's kind of the dress rehearsal game where we actually get to see some of the players going all out and the players and the starters going, maybe till halftime.
Well, there's still questions with the Seahawks. Russell Wilson has given the Seahawks until the end of this month to give him a contract, so he could be somewhere else before the season starts, according to some things I've heard. So right now it looks like a good game, but it could just become just another game in that week three. Defensive wise, it would be great for Rivers and the gang to get someone to really look at without Tyrell Williams in the lineup anymore, to see what they're going to do wide receiver wise.
Yeah, and it's nice to see they're not going to be traveling very far. I mean, they get the Saints at home, which would have been their farthest game away. And that's a good point about Russell Wilson, because he doesn't even have till the end of the month, or at least the Seahawks don't. He gave them an April 15th deadline. So you already have heard the trade discussion going on about, hey, could a team go out there and try to trade for Russell Wilson, because a quarterback of that caliber doesn't come available often. And I think what I've seen the asking price would probably be, hey, would you give two first round picks? And I honestly don't think it's out of the question. But speaking of trades, that kind of leads us to our first voicemail in a while from Brian in Westminster. Thanks for calling into the show, Brian. Let's see what your question is here.
Hey, guys. How's it going? A long time no call. I'm sorry about that. This is Brian from Westminster, and I've been listening to the past couple of shows, and I've noticed that we're in a call drought, so I wanted to give you guys a two thumbs up and let you know that we're still representing Locked On Chargers. And I just have a quick question. I was talking on Facebook about it the other day. If we could get Josh Rosen for a third round pick, I know there was rumored to have a second round offer out there for one of the three teams, the Cardinals, the Patriots, the Chargers. It wasn't the Chargers, but if we could possibly, if his value dips a bit, and we're able to snag him a former top 10 talent, some thought maybe a top 3-4 talent, for a third-round pick, would you do it? Or would would you not do it, and why? Thanks a lot, guys. Go Bolts, and I promise to call a lot more often. I love what you guys are doing. Keep up the great work, and go Bolts.
All right, guys. Well, the Chargers have been heavily rumored around this subject with Josh Rosen. There's a lot of people saying, hey, there are three teams trying to trade for Josh Rosen. One of them offered a second-round pick, and some even said that it was the Chargers that made that offer. Well, I'm on the record for saying I think the Chargers should trade a third-round pick to Arizona if they could to get Josh Rosen, primarily based on the fact that they have done nothing good with their third-round picks since Keenan Allen basically is the only good third-round pick they've had in a long time. And because with the quarterbacks in this class, which is not an especially deep class, I think he's better than most of the guys that will go in the first round and pretty much everyone after that. So if you're thinking of maybe spending a second round pick on a guy like Ryan Finley out of NC State, I think you would take a hard look at a third round pick for Josh Rosen. David, would you be okay with the Chargers sending a third round pick to Arizona for Josh Rosen?
Absolutely. I would definitely give a third round pick for Josh Rosen. You got to remember, guys, this is a first round pick. I mean, an early first round pick. You know, he's got a lot of arm talent. He comes from a big established school. And the Chargers, I mean, obviously they need to face facts. Phillip Rivers is getting old. I mean, we don't know how many more years he's going to be playing and starting and playing at a high level. So you have to plan for the future. If you can get a guy of Josh Rosen's talent, then for a third round pick, then you definitely got to pull the trigger.
Yeah, he was a really prolific passer in college. And I think if you could get some of that and you felt like he could return to that form and you see the potential in him, I think it's a no-brainer that you would send that pick over there. Especially, it's hard to hold anything against him from his first season with basically no help at all and a terrible offensive line that picked up Joe Barksdale. So I think you can see how bad that offensive line was. Some people said it was one of the worst offensive lines they've ever seen. So it's kind of hard to hold that against him. The only thing to me, John, is the control you have of him. So next year, obviously, Phillip Rivers is playing. That's Josh Rosen's second year of that rookie contract. And then, you know, maybe if Phillip Rivers plays two seasons after that, you really only have 1 year of control with Josh Rosen. But with that being said, do you have any concerns about that? And how do you feel about the Chargers potentially sending a pick like that to the Cardinals?
I personally believe Josh Rosen is overrated. I've never been part of the hype. I would rather go after Will Grier out of West Virginia for the second round pick or even the third round pick if he happens to fall that far, but he's predicted to go second round. I don't want Josh Rosen, even whether it's the contract situation or not. Yeah, in Arizona, he had a bad offensive line, but even with the good offensive line, I don't think he's going to be what people say he is. You could tell me he's a top 10 pick all you want, but there was other guys in this league that have been top 10 picks that didn't pan out, and I don't think Rosen's one of those guys that's going to pan out. I do not want him.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. I mean, I've never been on the bandwagon of, hey, take this guy number one overall. He's a sure thing to be a franchise quarterback for 10 seasons. But at the same time, I think a third-round pick to get a potential future starter, above-average starter, because I think he does have the ceiling to be a good quarterback, a top, 12 to 15 quarterback, I think that's not out of the question at all. And if you could send a third-round pick to kind of solidify your backup situation, and if it doesn't work out down the road, you lost Dan Feeney, or a third-round pick value player, you go back to Chris Watt or Max Turk, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I think a third-round pick for a potential future starting quarterback, and you have, 2 years at least probably to let him sit behind Phillip Rivers and learn the offense from him and pick his brain and be mentored by him, because we haven't really seen Phillip Rivers mentor anyone, so I don't know how that would all go down, but I would only think that he would be as graceful as any quarterback to be put into a situation like that. So, Brian, thank you for the question. I think it's a legitimate question. I think, you see two-thirds of us would be down for it, but I also understand John's hesitations. But I do want to get back into the 2019 draft. But first, I want to tell you guys that the Locked On NFL Network is going to be dropping a show with every team being represented in the first round of the Locked On NFL Mock Draft. We were the GM for the Chargers, so make sure you keep an eye on Locked On NFL and follow them at Locked On NFL Net on Twitter, so you'll hear that show when it comes out. I'm super excited to hear. I know who everyone else picked, and I know who we picked, but you guys will have to stay tuned to find out. So let's go ahead and get into our first draft prospect of the show today, Temple's cornerback, Rock Ya-Sin, coming up right after this. It's time to get into the first prospect of today, and of course, we are talking about potential Chargers first-round picks. We will get into later picks in the draft, probably second and third round guys coming up in the next show. This is probably our last round of first round picks. And these are a couple of guys I've seen get mocked to the Chargers in a few places. And a guy that in Hakeem Butler, who probably won't make it, but Rock Ya-Sin out of Temple will almost definitely be there at number 28 in the first round. And I think for good reason. I am not a fan of Rock Ya-Sin as a first round pick. I think he's a project, but first, just a little bit about him. He played this season at Temple as a cornerback, but before that, he played 3 years at Presbyterian, which was an FCS school and is now a Division III school. So, I mean, there's not a lot of tape against good competition out on this guy. You really only have this year to look at. I see the hype with it, David. I mean, he's 5'11", 6', about 190 pounds. He plays very physical, has good length. But I still think he's kind of a developmental guy, but it's definitely a guy Gus Bradley would look at and think he could mold into something great.
Well, all great defensive minds think they can take any type of player and make them fit for the type of vision or scheme that they have put forth while they've been in the league. But I don't know if that's going to be the case for Rock Ya-Sin. A couple of things about Rock Ya-Sin is he's not very well versed in zone coverage. Wasn't asked to do it a lot at Temple. You know, he doesn't have great footwork, so he doesn't really excel too much in zone coverage. He is fairly well versed at the press. You know, he's a physical type of guy, so he'll definitely get in your face. He tends to cross his feet. You know, he fails to step with some anticipation, and he has decent functional athleticism. I mean, he can flip his hips, so he doesn't really do it too much. He puts himself in good position, but he just can't follow through with it. One of his major strengths, though, I will say, to wrap things up, is his tackling. He's a pretty sure tackler. He picks his spots, and he can definitely lay the boom when he feels it's appropriate.
It's the prototypical Gus Bradley type of corner, a guy that will get up in somebody's face, not afraid to press you off of the line of scrimmage. But my thing with him was just, if he doesn't win by being physical and he doesn't get you off the line and can stay with you, he has a lot of trouble. And I think guys at the next level are going to exploit that. He didn't really show a lot of trouble, you know, getting beat over the top, but these guys don't have the speed of the guys he's going to play with. So I think he got away with some in college, and I don't know if he would necessarily be able to do that. And I will say, hey, I don't think he's a terrible player. I just don't think he's a first round pick. I think he's a late second, early third round pick, in my opinion. And so I was pretty surprised to see the Chargers, you know, mocked him in the first round. But yeah, he does do some things very well. He's very physical, and it's not just jamming guys off of the line of scrimmage. He does a little bit of that too, but he just stays with people and rides them throughout their route, which keeps him pretty close to them. He has a little bit of trouble when being on people like that coming back to the football. He doesn't get that great plant foot in the ground and burst into the catch point. So that was one of the issues I had with him. John, what did you think when you watched Rock Ya-Sin?
I felt like I was watching Michael Davis when he first came into the NFL. When we were all saying, oh my God, are you going to turn your head around? Are you going to turn your head around and look for the ball? I feel like I was watching the same thing with this guy lots of times. And his footwork was really bothering me when he would try to turn around or even plant his foot, as you mentioned. It wasn't really the greatest footwork of doing it, crossing his feet, getting himself tangled up. There was one play I saw where he tried to cover a slant route and he tripped on his own foot, and the pass was caught for 15 yards. But I saw him play against UCF, and those wide receivers are pretty fast, and he was keeping up with them a lot. When if they did a multi-break route, he had a hard time keeping up with those routes. But if you did just a simple slant route, or if you just went deep, he kept up with it pretty well. At Temple, he did a lot of cover three, so I didn't really get to see a lot of opportunity to see what he would do on deep routes if he had to press and run with. I just saw a lot of times where he had that cushion that allowed him to stay with the receivers, so that's something that I want to see more of, especially since he only played 1 year in the FBS. And I agree with you. I don't think this guy's a first-round pick. I feel like he'd have to be a third-round pick at the best. But he's a project, if you will. This is a guy, if you're going to draft him, you're drafting him because you think he has potential to be even greater than what you see. You feel like the roof is going to be extremely high for him, potential-wise, and you can make him that guy.
I agree with all of that. And my biggest thing with his footwork was just unnecessary steps. He seems to take, you know, kind of chop his feet and be a little bit indecisive, especially kind of, you know, jumping routes and plays like that. He's not very good in scenarios like that. But with the deep ball, he didn't get beat a lot deep and he was keeping up with people. But that was just because he uses great body control. He loves to keep guys against that boundary and kind of really limit what the corners can do. I mean, 12 pass breakups is a great season for any college cornerback. And he did that by being so physical that he didn't really create giant windows for quarterbacks to throw into. So I think I could see why people would be so intrigued by him. He has all the tools to do it, even though he doesn't have that elite athleticism. And that's really what the other drawback was for me, is just his change of direction. He has very long, lengthy strides, even though he isn't a super tall guy. But that leads to problems when he's trying to adjust on the fly and really cut and make those quick cuts. So I think really shifty receivers in the NFL would be able to put moves on him at the line of scrimmage, taking away his biggest asset, which is getting his hands on you and getting physical, especially at the top of routes. I mean, he's on guys' hips at the top of routes, but if you're not getting that initial jam and you can't keep up with your footwork, that is absolutely going to be a problem that NFL teams are going to exploit. But like I said, he is a good player. I don't think this guy comes in and starts for you right away, which is, I think, something that's paramount in being a first-round pick.
Not only that, but I think there's guys with similar builds to him already on the squad, and guys that are young and have a lot of potential and have shown a lot of growth and promise. So I just don't think that you invest a first-round pick into a cornerback that's a question and or a project. I mean, that's what Rocky Sin is. And, you know, in the first round, you really don't have room or time or value for projects.
Yeah, exactly. And we know we're picking at 28. You're not getting the cream of the crop. A Derwin James caliber player isn't going to fall in your lap. So you're probably going to have to get a guy with some flaws.
Or is it?
Hey, you never know, but there's no Derwin James in this draft. And if there is, no one's told me about him yet. So what the hell is wrong with you people? But no, I mean, it's just, for me, I could see this guy, you know, potentially turning into a starter at the NFL level. But I just think it's a couple years down the road. And we always talk about this. The window for the Chargers isn't the same as other teams. They are in win now mode. And there are a few different, you know, interior linemen, safeties, other positions that you could take in the first round if the certain guys fall to you that I'd be much higher on than a guy like Rocky Sin. So I was very surprised to see him mock to the Chargers because I just don't think he deserves to be a first round pick. And I mean, from all the scouting reports that I've read, I don't see many people even having him as a first round pick. A lot of people saying around the third round. But hey, for guys like this where teams see potential, they like to reach for guys like this. So I definitely see why he could be slotted at the end of the first round to the Chargers as far as potential, because I think he has that. But I do want to talk about a true game breaker and a guy who reminds me a little of someone who's already on the Chargers, and Hakeem Butler, coming up in the next segment. All right, well, guys, it's time to talk about Hakeem Butler, the wide receiver out of Iowa State. And this guy is a big guy, 6'6", 225 pounds, a prototypical outside receiver, and a guy who can absolutely go up and get it, and a highlight machine. I mean, John, you watched a lot of Big 12 games last season. I watched a lot of them in the last few days, and man, was he putting up some big plays in those games.
Oh, when I watched the guy, I was always scared of him. Because when Texas played him the past 2 years, I really was like, oh, my God, this is going to be the guy that gives Iowa State the upset like they do against Oklahoma every year. They always beat some big school, and this was the guy that was a big part of that. And when he played against Texas, I was really worried. This guy's a big jump ball receiver. If he catches even a 5-yard pass, he will run over all of your players. He's great catching the ball in traffic, and he's great after the catch. He will stiff arm. He will bully you. There are some worries I have with him, though. And one of those is that he does not get off the line very well.
Mm-hmm.
And in college, you can get away with that. You can get away with that in college. But in the NFL, you have to get off the line as quickly as possible because the pass rush is coming and the quarterback needs to get it to his spot quickly. And you're not going to be able to get away with running deep and out jumping everybody every single time. Calvin Johnson got away with it a lot, but this guy is being compared to Calvin Johnson, but he is not Calvin Johnson yet. Plus, his catching is really inconsistent. I saw so many times where he would make this great diving catch or this backside grab or a one-handed catch. And then there was other times where he was missing that play. And it was just really inconsistent, and it bothers me because I don't know if I can rely on him to catch the passes. Kind of similar to a guy you were talking about to me, Wade, when we were at Messenger.
Yeah, and that's a guy that the Charger fans should be familiar with, Mike Williams. Have you ever heard of him? Yeah, no, he reminds me.
I don't know. It's kind of a familiar name. Do tell.
Maybe a year ago you didn't hear about him when I think he had 11 catches in his rookie season, but definitely had a breakout year last season. And they have a lot of the same tools, and they struggle with some of the same things. Both guys can make highlight plays. I think Hakeem Butler actually maybe made more than him, but I think Mike Williams is a little bit more consistent catching the ball away from his body, because with all of the big plays that Hakeem Butler made, he has a tendency to kind of catch the ball with his body and not really extend his arms fully, which he was able to get away with against smaller corners. But you're right, John. With his yards after the catch, it's not about making guys miss. He's much better than Mike Williams in this part of it because he will literally stiff arm guys to the ground. I literally saw one where he was running, comes back, makes the catch pretty much off the guy's forehead, totally mosses him, and then the guy's balance is going one way and just literally throws him back to score a touchdown. That's the kind of physical receiver that he is, and that's the big thing with him is being physical. He's a guy who knows how to box out defenders with his large frame. I mean, the guy has a massive wingspan and catch radius, so basically just throw it in his direction, and he's going to have a chance at doing it. And if you have a guy with good ball placement, which Phillip Rivers has, I mean, he's just boxing out, and you throw it to the outside, and he will catch it. And he's also good at something that Phillip Rivers has gotten better at throwing the last couple of seasons, and that's that back shoulder fade route. I mean, he is just ridiculous on back shoulder throws. His timing is good. He stops pretty well. He's not great. He does chop his feet a little bit, but if it's thrown back shoulder to him, I mean, he's deadly, and it's very hard to stop if you're a corner running full speed and trying to keep up with a guy whose straight line speed is pretty good. So, David,
and he also blocks pretty well too. When you talk about him being physical, he can block really well.
Yeah, I think he's hit or miss blocking, honestly. I mean, when he is fully sold out and gets his hands on somebody, I mean, corners just don't really stand a chance. He keeps guys in front of him pretty well, doesn't have a lot of holding or blocking the backs because he is so long that he can get extended. But sometimes he kind of skips up to block people. It's kind of a weird thing to say, but I saw that a couple times, kind of just skipping up to people to engage. So that wasn't really the best thing to do. Yeah. It looks like he's a running back about to make a jump cut and trying to pull an LT on somebody. But David, I think we all see why the Chargers could potentially draft a wide receiver in the first round after they lost Tyrell Williams to the Raiders. And this is a guy, you know, who would give you that second twin tower on the outside.
It's really funny that you said that, because that's the first thing. I mean, that was literally the name that was in my head, was the twin, restoring the twin towers, you know, go back to the Vincent Jackson, Malcolm Floyd look. But yeah, so with Hakeem Butler, you guys mentioned this is a big kid, 6'5", 6'6", depending on who you ask, 227. My first note was he's a big physical receiver. I mean, this guy, you know, he's an imposing figure, and he makes the highlight reel plays. I mean, he makes those really, you know, crazy head scratching, how did he make that catch type of plays. He's a pretty good blocker when he's, like you said, Daniel, when he's fully engaged, and, you know, he can definitely move people out of the way. On the negative side, he's not particularly a great route runner. Obviously, he's a fantastic vertical threat, but he doesn't have a really, you know, large expanded route tree. And it takes a while for him to get up to speed. He does not have good get off. He's not going to accelerate right away. You know, he's a long receiver. So it takes a while for those long legs to get up to speed. But when he does get up to speed, he can take off. Questionable hands. You guys mentioned it. His hands are inconsistent, you know, on more of the simple plays, you know, some of those comeback routes or, you know, slants, just some of those easy throws. Sometimes he just drops those and it's just kind of head scratching. You know, you just don't, you know, for all the great, fantastic plays that he makes, for him to drop the easy ones, it's definitely a little troubling. And then also he just doesn't get much separation. I think that kind of has something to do with his get off. And taking a while to get up to speed, but that's kind of the things I saw, from my review of Hakeem Butler.
Yeah. If I were teams, I would honestly try to, you know, press him at the line of scrimmage and get hands on him because of all of those factors. I think really all of those kind of blend together to show why he doesn't get separation. He doesn't have extremely sharp cuts, especially on in breaking routes and posts and plays like that. If anyone is there being physical with him, he doesn't get off the way he should. And I think that would mess up the timing. But I think a lot of that goes back to, like we said with Rock Ya-Sin, it's the footwork. He doesn't have great footwork in the routes that he runs. But, you know, when he gets a free release and he can get going, I've seen him pull away from people. So I definitely don't think that speed is an issue. His game speed was really good. I mean, but like we said, he has to get up to that. He doesn't have great bursts.
Acceleration.
Yeah.
It's not the top speed that's a problem. It's the acceleration getting to that speed, which you can fix. There are drills to fix that. And you can tell that he doesn't work on those. He works on weight room and basically any type of speed drill that you have is what he really works on. You could just tell he doesn't work on his hands as much. He doesn't do those explosive drills. So that's something you could fix in the offseason easily.
They are things that can be fixed, but it reminds me, at least speed-wise, of a guy like Tyrell Williams. He was at his best if he's either running a crossing route across the middle or a drag route across the middle where he kind of just takes a 2-yard step and then just goes and gets straight line speed across the field. That's the kind of speed that he has. He's a very long guy. It does take him a little bit. That was the word I was going to use, was acceleration. He doesn't have great acceleration. But like we said, when he gets it going, I mean, speed is absolutely not an issue. It's just more of a linear speed. And then my other thing with his routes, too, was just he doesn't sell them particularly well. I've seen a lot of guys, you know, on his hip. He makes contested catches because there's guys always connected to him. I mean, really, honestly, any, you know, curl route, anything across the middle, he has a guy pretty much on his hip. And most of the times with those contested catches, he comes away with it. But definitely separation, David, is something you definitely have to worry about. So, John, I'll put it to you. I'm kind of iffy if I would take him in the first round. I honestly don't think he's going to make it to them at 28. Like, I got another guy we were going to talk about, Byron Murphy, the cornerback out of Washington. I don't think he's going to make it to the Chargers, so that's why we're not really having that discussion. But if he was to make it to the Chargers, are you pulling the trigger on that pick?
Oh, man, it's hard because I really want to pull the trigger and say, yes, I want to take him at 28 just because losing Tyrell is a hole in this offense. And Daniel Wade's been calling for it. We do need to cut Travis Benjamin at some point. So right there, that's two wide receivers you had in your offense that are gone. You do need that third weapon. And there's plenty of defensive linemen in this draft that you can get later on. There's even guys that I'm seeing that are getting injury issues or something along those lines that have had surgery that are falling that were considered first or second round talent that are becoming third and fourth round talent now that I think we could steal this year. So I really want to pick him, but is at what cost is it going to be? Is it be at the cost of an offensive lineman that you could get to? I really want to say yes, I want to take the pick if he falls to us.
Well, it's just, I mean, he's the exciting pick. He's the sexy pick. He's the guy that you could see becoming a Pro Bowler. I mean, he has that kind of potential, especially with just the flashy plays that this guy makes. He's going to have a ton of one-handed catches. He's really good along the sideline, has great, you know, boundary awareness. He always got a foot in some ridiculous situations, but he's very aware of that stuff and does it well. So he's a highlight reel. I mean, you want a highlight reel on your team. It's as simple as that. But John, I think you kind of said it well.
It also stretches the field though, too. If you have Mike Williams with Hakeem Butler and Keenan Allen, I mean, that really stretches the field on where you can go with weapons wise and could probably open up the run game a little bit more. And we talked earlier that if he gets on his blocks, he has it. You do need wide receivers to block. Travis Benjamin obviously couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can get plenty of guys to stretch the field though. And I think that's what it comes down to, is what are you giving up? And I think to me, hey, if all of the guys at the top of my list are gone, I think Hakeem Butler is a good pick. So I think for me, it's who is there at that pick? Who would I take him over? I would still lean towards a guy like Jerry Tillery. I think between him and Nazir Adderley, I think that's a good discussion. I think you could, you know, have a healthy debate about that, because obviously one of those guys and both of them, if you throw Tillery into it, are bigger needs than wide receiver. But you're definitely going to lose an element to this offense without Tyrell Williams, and he would basically erase that and probably improve on that if you were to draft a guy like Hakeem Butler. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Thank you to everyone for listening. That'll probably wrap up the first round potential picks. So on the next show, we're going to get into some second and third round guys, get into some better value picks for the Chargers potentially. If you don't already, make sure to go follow us at Locked On LAC on Twitter and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Himalaya, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. We would really appreciate it. And also, we played a voicemail today from Brian, and your voice could be the next one on the show if you call the Locked On Chargers voicemail at 323-524-7924. All right, guys, thanks again for listening. Make sure to keep your eye out for that Locked On NFL Network mock draft. I'm really excited. You should be really excited too. There's so many guys on there that know so much about football. It's so fun to listen to. So make sure you keep your eyes out for that and follow Locked On NFL Net on Twitter so you're there when it comes out. But we will catch you guys next time. Take it easy and go Bolts.